Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
They say it's in your blood, a game that can't be won, only played. A love affair. It satisfies the soul and frustrates the intellect. The greatest game ever played, golf. It's real. And this is Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper, son of legendary golfer Billy Casper, talking golf with you for more than two decades. And now, here's Brian and Bob.
Well, thanks again and welcome in to this week's U.S. Open preview edition of Real Golf Radio. I'm Brian Taylor. He's Bob Casper, son of two-time U.S. Open champion Billy Casper. So good to be with you. We're excited to be out at Oakmont, Pittsburgh, PA. We were there a month ago for media day, had a chance to play the golf course, and now go out and watch the best players in the world tackle one of the toughest tests they will ever face for that elusive U.S. Open championship. It's our national championship. It's the 125th edition. This is what everybody, if you're a golfer, this is what you want to play for. It's a wide open test. Over 10,000 people started with local qualifying. And it comes down to these 156 players that will be in this field. And we just finished the greatest or the longest day of golf, 36 hole sectional qualifiers to get in. Some great storylines coming into this one. A dentist, former Oakmont caddy, gets in, and a local Pittsburgh native, which is a super cool story. And so he's going to be playing. And then, of course, you've got all the players that are warming up this week in Canada on the PGA Tour at the RBC. You've also got those that are sitting out coming off of what they did at the Memorial last week, including Scottie Scheffler. We'll talk about his continued impressive run that he is on. He is dominating, Bob. Yes. And you know what? I think back to the show last week when I asked you about Scottie, and you said commitment, and you went over his commitment to his game, and he just stays that way. It's almost this unflappable nature that makes him somewhat untouchable out there between the ropes.
Well, it allows him to remain focused. It gives him a benchmark and something that he can focus on with his golf and all parts of his life. Then he's got undoubtedly the best caddy in the game right now with Ted Scott, and basically he relies on Ted Scott to get himself around the golf course. You know, Ted helps maneuver Scottie around the golf course. Scottie hits the shots and makes the putts, and they smile and are just elated with each other in the business that each business portion of their team that handles winning golf tournaments and winning championships.
Hey, business is good. What's not to smile about? We'll get into it all next right here on Real Golf Radio.
How's it going, everyone? Spencer Reynolds here with Fujikura Golf, and today we're excited to bring you our newest line of performance golf shafts, the all-new Fujikura Pro Series. The Pro naming convention has a rich Fujikura history, and this promises to be the highest performance Pro Series yet, featuring an all-new advanced bend profile design. Advanced bend profile is a design technique where we target specific regions within a section of the shaft and alter stiffness in those sections to increase overall shaft performance. In the all-new Pro Series, Advanced Bend Profile targets the lower region of the midsection, drops the stiffness dramatically to increase kick speed, and a reinforced tip section provides increased stability and consistency at impact. Available in two distinct and overall smooth-feeling profiles, Pro Blue offers players a traditional mid-launch and mid-low spin configuration, while Pro Black focuses on higher ball speed players, delivering a lower launch and lower spin option. Both Pro models are available now, so visit us at FujikuraGolf.com for more product-specific information, locate a charter dealer near you, and get fit for the all-new Fujikura Pro Series.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
Titleist Pro V1 and Pro V1X are the best performing, most consistent in the game. So how does the best get better? You start by listening to the best players in the world. You experiment, iterate, validate. You trust the best process to create the best golf ball the game has ever known. The all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X. More speed off the tee, more control with your irons, more spin with your wedges, and more opportunity to shoot your lowest scores.
Say hello to 4U Banking from Zions Bank, customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Like credit cards. Experience 4U Banking today at a Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Credit card accounts are subject to credit approval. Certain terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See the consumer credit card agreement and disclosure statement for more details. Offers are available for new credit card accounts only and subject to change at any time. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA member FDIC.
With adaptive weighting technology and 33 unique loft and lie settings, Cobra has a driver model for every golfer. Introducing DS Adapt from Cobra Golf. Dial in your game.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian and Bob with you. Looking forward to next week's U.S. Open Championship at Oakmont Country Club. This segment brought to you in part by Black Desert Resort in St. George, Utah. Black Desert Resort, the Cove Village is now open for sale. You can buy a condo right around the new water park, which is under construction. Really exciting opportunity. Check it out at blackdesertresort.com. We have some new lots that are available that if you want to build your own home. We've got some single family home lots that have just come available for selection as well. Go to blackdesertresort.com for more information. And thanks again for joining us here on Real Golf Radio. We got a great show for you coming up here in about 15 minutes. We dug up an interview that we did with Johnny Miller back before the 2016 U.S. Open. Mm-hmm. And he talked about his 1973 win there at Oakmont, shooting that 63 in the final round. Alex Maselli is going to join us coming up after that. And then on the back nine, hour number two, from Media Day, John Bodenhammer, Chief Championships Officer for the USGA, on the setup and what they hope and expect to present to these players by way of a test coming up next week for the U.S. Open, plus America's favorite caddy will be stopping by as well. So jam-packed show. Bob, when we look at this Johnny Miller 1973 shooting at 63. Yeah. It's pretty amazing. He shot 76 the day before, and then he comes back with a 63, a 13 shot swing.
I mean, in a U.S. Open,
that's remarkable, right? He found himself on Saturday without his yardage book, and he'll tell the story coming up. You're going to hear it. I don't want to give it all away, but you'll hear him talk about the USGA. If you want to be critical of the USGA, he says, back then they had an appointed caddy. You couldn't bring your own caddy. Same as Augusta, where you had to use a club caddy all those years, right?
Yep.
And so he'll talk about his caddy that he got assigned had never caddied for anyone who had ever broke 85, is what he said. Mm. So you have no caddy. You have no yardages on sprinklers back then. And he had no yardage book. And he still somehow managed a 76 to stay somewhat in the tournament. Pretty remarkable, actually.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. So, you know, it is you know, I've told the story many times, but I can remember traveling with my father to golf tournaments where I would caddy for him or whatever, and he'd have scorecards. He'd have a shoebox in his in his credenza full of scorecards of the courses that he had played with yardages on each one for each hole. Okay. He grabbed that scorecard out of his shoebox and he'd get on the airplane and he'd look at that scorecard and he'd go and he'd close his eyes and I'd be sitting there next to him looking at him. He'd close his eyes and he'd go through that golf course hole by hole in his mind. Wow. Getting ready to go play.
Wow.
Okay. Then he'd take his scorecard out the next morning and he'd walk he'd figure out his spots and his marks and everything that he had yardages from. And he'd walk every single one of them to make sure they were correct, that nothing had changed. So he knew exactly where he was on the golf course when he would be playing. So when Johnny says he forgot his yardage book, it may have been a book, but I'll guarantee it was probably a scorecard.
Because
my dad
card.
And Johnny played a lot of golf together in practice rounds and everything. And he mentored Johnny when Johnny came out on tour. So,
well, that's right. He did say it was a card. He called it a card, but then it sort of evolved into a yardage book because that's what people know it as today. But
correct.
Yeah, like it now the caddy that comes on our show every week, he does all that work for you. So Billy wouldn't have to sit there in his mind and think through it. He have it all, it all be done for him in a book all waiting for him. So yeah, looking back on that though, it was a softer Oakmont that week, which we're expecting to see a softer Oakmont next week. Gary Player shot 67 in the opening round, shot 4 under par, had a 3-shot lead over Lee Trevino, Jim Colbert, and Raymond Floyd. Johnny Miller, Jack Nicklaus, Arnold Palmer, Gene Littler, Bob Charles, and Ralph Johnson were all at even par 71. Back then, they played it as a par 71. They played 9 as a par 5, right? So keep that in mind. 9 is a par 4 for the championship this year. And I think the last few times they played it. So now we go to the second round, and you had, you know, some rounds in the 60s. Gary shot 70, 1 under, and moved to 5 under, but Jim Colbert shot 68. He's only a shot back. Nicklaus, Miller, Bob Charles, they're all 3 shots back at 2 under par. And you saw Gene Borick. I don't even know who that is, Bob. He's an American.
Either.
And he shot 77 in the first round, came back with 65 in the second round. So let's just note that there were a lot of low scores going on during this tournament. This is not to take anything away from Johnny, but just to kind of set the scene a little bit.
Sure.
And I don't know if that's going to translate into this next week, but it is interesting. Palmer, Weisskopf, Trevino, and others at even par, 5 shots back. In the third round, how about Jerry Hurd shoots 66? 74, 70, 66 to get to 3 under par. John Schlee shot 67. Palmer shot 68. Burrow shot 68. And they all tied for the lead at 3 under. So back then, after 54 holes, back in 1973, 3 under par was leading the championship. Weisskopf was a shot back at 2. Trevino, Bob Charles, Jim Colbert at 1. And then Nicklaus and Player at +1. Johnny was 6 shots back at +3.
There you go.
And he opened the final round with 4 straight birdies. And he made a bogey at the 8th. That's that long par 3.
Correct.
And he also, I think he 3-putted. Did he 3-putt 7? I can't remember now. I was reading about, here we go, 7. No, he hit it to 6 feet. He 2-putted from 6 feet. That's what it was. For making a par, and then he bogeys 8. And then he comes back and goes, he's birdies 9, pars 10, birdies 11, 12, 13, pars 14, birdies 15. And then he would par out from there. And this is what I love, Bob, about his score. And he'd finish about an hour ahead of time and wait to see if anybody caught him. He hits 2 iron to 45 feet on 16, the 230-yard par 3 back then.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes 1 iron wedge to 10 feet on the 322-yard par 4 17th. I love that. He goes 2 iron, 1 iron, and then hits driver 5 iron to 20 feet and 2-putted for par. I mean, come on. How good is that?
Hitting the knife, baby.
When I went through, according to this, at least what I looked at on Wikipedia, is they list all of his clubs. He, and you know, John Bodenhammer, you're going to hear from, he said he wants to get all the clubs dirty. The only one iron I couldn't find in that mix was an 8-iron.
Was an 8-iron.
Hit the rest of
in
them.
In the final round.
In the final round, yeah. So, Pretty wild, right?
Awesome.
Gary Koch was an amateur that year, by the way. He shot 18 over.
Speaking of that,
yeah,
Scottie Scheffler played this the last time they played there.
As an amateur?
As an amateur. 19-year-old amateur. He shot 69 in the first round.
Mm.
And then I think he came back with around 77 or something like that. But he's played this golf course before.
Coming up next, our conversation with Johnny Miller right here on Real Golf Radio. Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay, you can play, enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
On a scale from 1 to 5,
I would give Siegfried and Jensen
5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars.
If there was more stars in the constellation, they'd get more.
And I want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Here for you 24/7.
Call Siegfried and Jensen.
Golf Course Green starts with good irrigation. Pros and golf course superintendents agree. You should turn to Mountainland Supply for your turf irrigation needs. Mountainland Supply is the exclusive Rainbird Golf distributor in Utah. And what does that mean to you? When you need irrigation products for your lawn, you can trust that Mountainland Supply will have what you need. Plus, Mountainland can assist you in designing your sprinkler system with smartphone controllers, drip irrigation, pipes, parts, and tools. Go to MountainlandSupply.com to find the location nearest you.
At Black Desert Resort, everyday living feels like a well-deserved getaway. Immerse yourself in the unique opportunity of ownership nestled among the lava fields and vibrant cliffs of Greater Zion. Spanning 600 acres of scenic desert landscape, our newly built luxury resort offers a range of residences, diverse dining options, year-round outdoor recreation, and world-class spa facilities. Anchoring it all is our signature Tom Weisskopf Golf Course. Explore the options or book a tour at ownblackdesertresort.com.
Say hello to 4U Banking at Zions Bank. Customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Whether you're looking to open a new checking account or simply save for the future, we're ready to help with banking that's meant for you. Experience 4U Banking today at your local Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Please refer to the deposit account agreement, account disclosure, deposit rate sheet, and personal account schedule of fees available in the online agreement center or speak with a banker for more details. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA member FDIC.
Want someone on your side after a car accident? Call us. Here's a fact. Insurance companies exist to make money, not pay it out. At Siegfried & Jensen, we care about you and your case. Get the facts and the help you need. Call us today.
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
You're listening to Real Golf Radio. Talking golf with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
One day you'll get it.
Here's Brian and Bob.
Welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, thanks for joining us. A U.S. Open preview edition of the show. And I found an interview we did a few years ago before the 2016 U.S. Open when Johnny Miller talked about his winning in 1973 with that final round, 63, shared some of the stories. And then I decided to let it go ahead and play out as he talked about some of the favorites, because it is interesting to think about some of the people that he picked back then, some 9 years ago, and which of those players today or types of players today might be contending. Here's that conversation from 2016 with Johnny Miller. All right, welcome back to Real Golf Radio. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper, thank you very much for joining us as we look forward to next week's U.S. Open at Oakmont. And who else would you want to get on other than the man who set the record for major championship golf and did it in the final round on the toughest golf course in the world, some say, and that was at Oakmont. Johnny Miller shooting the round of 63 in 1973 to go on to win the United States Open Championship, and the Hall of Famer and NBC broadcaster joins us right now. Johnny, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Brian, that's the Unreal Golf, as usual.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. It's always an honor and a privilege to have you on. I remember we did a similar interview back in 2007, and I still remember just kind of getting chills as you reflected on this round. This round, in a number itself, is impressive and is arguably one of the greatest rounds ever played in the game of golf. But the way you tell it and the things surrounding it, there was so much else going on besides just hitting golf shots that weekend, wasn't there?
Yeah, it was. Even the fact that I grew up, at Olympic Club in San Francisco on Pebble Beach, and I was groomed by my dad and my teacher to win a U.S. Open, only the U.S. Open. That was the only thing we talked about, and had some pretty good chances before that. In 71 at Marion, I finished fifth, and then the next year at Pebble, finished seventh, and I was right at the lead on Sunday on the Pebble one. And then, of course, I'd never played Oakmont before. I just heard how tough it was, but it was a lady predicting I was going to win all week long, and got a letter there saying you're going to win from Iowa, which I'd never had. It was never no return address, but the fact, just not having my yardage book on Saturday, just there were a lot of little sidebars that went through the whole thing. But then even the clear affirmation I got, or voice that said, open your stance way up on Sunday morning right before it teed off. But I don't know, it just seemed like it was meant to be. And, as far as ball striking around under pressure, that was the best round I've ever played, the best round I've ever seen, actually. I think the shot link has got it 18 times average, 9 feet from the hole 18 times.
Wow. And these are not easy greens to get close to. I mean, it's not as like there's much of a flat surface around there.
No, it was just a magical day. And I was a streak player. And when I got on those streaks, I could shoot pretty low. And I didn't really choke tee to green. I'd choke a little on the greens. But when I got it going, I just was able to, throughout my career pretty much, I could count on the tee to green hanging in there under pressure. So even though after four holes I started gagging a little when I realized I birdied the first four holes and I was six back, I figured, gee, the leaders are probably going to be nervous. I might be near the lead, And of course, you don't want to do that early in the round. But so I missed a couple eight-footers, came up short, and three-putter from about 25 feet on eight, and that sort of peed me off, and then that got me going again. So, I just, I don't know. Everybody in life has one magical moment or two, and that was mine. That's all I can say.
Johnny Miller joining us here on Real Golf Radio, looking forward to next week's U.S. Open at Oakmont, which, of course, Johnny won in 1973 at that very golf course. So the first two rounds you were paired with Arnold Palmer. This was right in Arnold's heyday, and what was that like, being paired with the king and having to compete with, his army, essentially, that was out there in force?
I would say for the average pro, that would have been about a three-shot penalty around, I can tell you that. The gallery didn't exactly stick around if he made a 15-footer and I had a 10-footer, So, I mean, his gallery was so amazingly supportive of Arnold to the point of being, I don't know if the word is rude, but they basically only cared about Arnie. And so to be able to play at Oakmont, Arnie's backyard, and hang in there with him in time after two rounds, that was one of the hardest parts about that Open and winning it, was surviving the Palmer syndrome.
When you talk about your game versus Arnold Palmer, is it hard not to get distracted? Did he approach that that golf course differently than you did?
I didn't. His game was so different than my game. I can't say that I paid that much attention to him. I was just trying to concentrate. And like I said, this lady had come up after every round, starting on Tuesday, and by Thursday after the good round, I was thinking, well, I hope she's right. And then by Friday, I was thinking, man, I got through Arnold Palmer. Maybe she is right, So I don't know. I was just doing my thing. And I'd played enough with Arnold that I knew it was going to be hard. But he didn't really intimidate me because his swing to me was not the most wonderful swing. And he didn't hit any farther than I did. And there wasn't really any aspect of his game that I thought was made me feel feel like a hack. I felt like I can match up with him pretty even through the bag. And my iron game was probably a little better than his mid-iron, short irons.
Johnny Miller joining us here on Real Golf Radio. So you got this lady telling you you're going to win. You get this sort of strange letter in your locker. You're playing with a caddy that's never caddied for you before. And then you got a voice telling you to open up your stance. I mean, all those things sort of combined. And you talk about serendipity a lot. Is that sort of the pinnacle of serendipity?
I would say so. You know, my caddy, Lou Bodine, as he said, I'd never caddied for anybody that broke 85 before. You know, USGA. If you wanted to criticize the USGA, that was the dumbest rule ever in history of golf. Is they wouldn't let you bring a good caddy or your caddy or anybody you wanted. They would just draw for which caddy you got. And the caddies, a lot of them weren't even hardly knew anything about golf, you know. So you can imagine having a caddy that never had anybody break 85, and there were no sprinkler head markers. There was no, you know, no laser yardages. It was all walk by, you know, your stride. And so I wouldn't even think of using his stride. Everybody's stride was different. So it was pretty shocking when I left that yardage book back at the house that I was staying at. So it was, and I'm not saying that's the whole reason why I shot 76, but it sure had a lot to do with the confidence and the shock factor.
I would love to see a pro today without a caddy that they can rely on, or their yardage book, or the sprinklers out there. I don't even know if guys today, and I'm being respectful, but I honestly don't know if guys today, pros today, would know how to get around a golf course.
Yeah, I mean, people don't realize, you know, my book would say number one, TSLFB, which is tee side left fairway bunker, soft six to the front right pin, back left with a draw, five iron, you know. Yeah, every hole was like that. You know, it was all done sort of antiquated, but, you know, we almost went more, instead of going with the numbers, sometimes we just go with what, you know, it was soft six to the front right or whatever, four iron to the back left or whatever it would be. And I had yardages, but I also put down what club it was, you know, so it was my own way of doing it. I still have that yardage card. I think it's in the Hall of Fame down in Florida, so. It was, you know, I was pretty picky on how I did my yardages, and I pretty much, you know, did my own, even though Andy Martinez was caddying for me at the time. He couldn't caddy that U.S. Open, which is, he obviously didn't make him too happy.
Hey, Johnny, how do you compare Oakmont to, and you've covered a lot of U.S. Opens in your career, how do you compare Oakmont to the other venues that the U.S. Open is hosted on?
Well, you know, you look at the ones that even from since 2006, you got Wingfoot, Oakmont, Torrey Pines, Bethpage, Pebble, Congressional, Olympic, Marion, you know, Pinehurst, Chambers Bay. You know, last year, Chambers Bay didn't have much history, and I'm not so sure it was even in the same sentence as Oakmont or Wingfoot, but, you know, going. You know, looking back on it, you know, when the last time I played at Oakmont, Cabrera was battling Tiger. He won with plus five. And then the next year, or the year before at Wingfoot, Ogilvy was plus five and beat out, remember, Mickelson and that group. So, I mean, I think Over Par is going to win this Open. I really do. You know, when I won, it was 6,921 yards. Now it's 7,255 yards. So just such a hard test, and the greens are the hardest. I think the greens are, with Augusta and with maybe Oakland Hills and a few others, the toughest set of greens there are. And like you said, if you don't keep the ball underneath the hole, that's 63, you know, I hit all the greens but only had one downhill putt the whole day, which that's one of the parts of the round that you know, was pretty darn good, as I kept the ball underneath the hole. I'm not even sure how I did it, to be honest with you.
It was awesome. I would think it has to rank up there as the greatest round ever played, considering the conditions, the difficulty of the golf course, what was on the line, you know, the setup, all of those things combined, and the fact that it's the lowest round ever in a major championship, not to mention, I think it's the only final round, 63 in a major. Is that correct?
Yeah, it is, and to win, and I think it's the only 8 under par 63. All the other ones were par 70. So,
Interesting.
That's the one little difference. So
yeah, that's a very, very good point. So considering all those factors, understanding what you did and probably throwing out the idea that somebody will come out and do that again on Sunday this year, who do you like next week? Because I don't think anyone was picking Angel Cabrera going in 2007.
Well, Angel, every once in a while, I don't know how he does it, but, you know, he's won a couple majors, and it's sort of out of nowhere, isn't it? But, you know, you probably look for the same old suspects, you know, even guys like Justin Rose is a good pick. McIlroy is sort of rounding out his form lately. Not that he's winning, but he did win over, the Irish Open a couple weeks ago. And then Spieth is a perfect U.S. Open player if he's playing well. I mean, he was pushing a lot of shots there a month or two ago, but it seems like he won Colonial, and that was a good win for him. Jason Day is the best player in the world. Perfect game for the Open. You get very little wind at Oakmont, which could be he's not the greatest wind player, but he hits the ball so high, but he can hit a lot of those three woods and irons off the tee. So he is definitely the favorite. There's no doubt about that, but you know, maybe Bubba will like Oakmont, I don't know, and Ricky Fowler's been in a bit of a slump, and Phil hasn't done much lately. But don't look past Stenson and Rose, and, you know, Dustin Johnson's probably got a bad break on that last hole, Chambers Bay. If his ball would have been a foot right on 18, it would have rolled down about 5 feet from the hole, just hung up on a little ledge just above the hole. Of course, he shouldn't have three-putted, but... maybe it's time for a Patrick Reed or somebody like that, you know, that's a good, tough player and pretty good pressure player. But, you know, you never know right now, as you know. A lot of it has to do with that first round. Look, the guys that shoot a good first round, they're probably going to be the ones that are going to be there at the end. They're not that many comebacks in the U.S. Open.
All right, there you go. If you're just tuning in, that was Johnny Miller. It was a few years ago. Jason Day is not the favorite coming in, but he was the favorite in the world number one at the time, coming off of the win at the PGA Championship in 2015. But really appreciate Johnny for sharing his thoughts. And interesting to hear what he had to say about the players coming in that week to the U.S. Open. So hope you enjoyed that. Our U.S. Open preview show continues next. Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Real Golf Radio.
Want someone on your side after a car accident? Call us. Here's a fact. Insurance companies exist to make money, not pay it out. At Siegfried & Jensen, we care about you and your case. Get the facts and the help you need. Call us today.
You've heard us talk about the amazing capabilities of Mountainland Truck Outfitters to outfit your truck, van, or commercial vehicle. But did you know that Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has a mobile sandblasting system that they can bring on site to you or your business? And Mountainland Truck Outfitters now has an exclusive powder coating shop offering virtually any color you want. See Mountainland Truck Outfitters in Provo to custom outfit your truck with lifts, leveling kits, spray-in bed liners, commercial truck bodies, wheels, tires, powder coating, sandblasting, lighting, hitches, and other accessories. Go to mountainlandtruck.com. That's MTNLNDtruck.com.
Say hello to 4U Banking from Zions Bank, customized banking that's all about you and the way you bank. Like credit cards. Experience 4U Banking today at a Zions Bank branch or visit zionsbank.com/4U to learn more. Credit card accounts are subject to credit approval. Certain terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. See the consumer credit card agreement and disclosure statement for more details. Offers are available for new credit card accounts only and subject to change at any time. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA, member FDIC.
Right now is the perfect time to check out the all-new Black Desert Resort in St. George. You can stay. You can play. Enjoy one of the many restaurants that are open to serve you, like the fun sports atmosphere at the 20th hole or the finest steakhouse experience at Basalt. Play the Tom Weisskopf Championship Golf Course, home to the PGA and LPGA Tours. Take on the massive 36-hole putting course and enjoy luxury your way at Black Desert Resort. Book your experience at blackdesertresort.com.
Celebrate Father's Day this year at Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Help Dad unlock more control with a 50% bonus trade-in towards Elite and Apex clubs and 10% off select iron sets. Need ideas this Father's Day? We have gift cards and our online gift guide at worldwidegolf.com. Trusted by golfers since 1971 and home to the legendary 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee. Uinta Golf by Worldwide Golf. Get there!
This is Brian Taylor. For years, you've heard me talk about getting LASIK surgery from Hoops Vision. I've heard from so many of you who have had the same great experience that I had. It's been 15 years already, and my eyesight is still amazing. I 100% recommend the pros at Hoops Vision for your vision correction needs. Book your free consultation online at hoopsvision.com. Mention Real Golf Radio, and you'll save $1,000 on your LASIK procedure. That's hoopsvision.com. Hoopsvision.com.
On a scale from 1 to 5,
I would give Siegfried and Jensen
5 stars.
5 stars.
5 stars.
If there was more stars in the constellation, they'd get more.
And I want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Here for you 24/7.
Call Siegfried and Jensen.
Now, back to Real Golf Radio with Brian Taylor and Bob Casper.
All right, welcome back to the show. Brian Taylor, Bob Casper with you here on Real Golf Radio. Looking forward to next week's U.S. Open Championship. 125th edition. It's at Oakmont, and it is set to be a test. About a month ago, we had a chance to go out there for media day and interview some of the USGA folks and play the golf course afterwards. And Bob and I were both thrilled when we saw that we were paired with Alex Maselli. We were super excited to be able to play with Alex. I don't think I'd played with him anyway over the years, and certainly respect Alex and everything he's done in the game for journalism and golf and all of that. And he joins us right now. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I think I'm good. I think what you learned is that because I write about golf doesn't mean I can necessarily play it as well as I should.
Well, you know what? That's because you're dedicated to your craft. If you were dedicated to playing, you know, who knows? Sky's the limit.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
And yet you're about to go out and play in just a little while anyway.
Yeah, you know, that's just pure foolishness, isn't it?
No, I think it's great. You know what? I think that guys, you know what? Obviously, you're a professional. You've been doing this for a long time. But I think it's good to get out on the golf course. I love the guys that are writing about golf like to get out and play the game. I think there's some perspective there. Would you agree or no?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think, and actually, not to joke about this, but people think, oh, you get to play Oakmont, that's great. But, you know, you learn so much about how they're playing the game inside the ropes when you play the same golf course, because you've had at least a perspective of seeing the holes from inside the ropes as well. And it's a huge thing. And I mean, like, as an example, I would always talk about Royal Lithium. If you've never played Royal Lithium, you have no idea how good Royal Lithium is inside the ropes and what they have to deal with. And that's a great experience. And if you're standing on the outside of the ropes and you're watching the Open Championship or the Walker Cup or the British Am or whatever, you don't really get the same feeling because you've never been inside the ropes.
Mm. Yeah. Great. That's cool thoughts. What did you think? What did you think about Oakmont? I know you've had an opportunity to be there many times, but being able to play it and being able to see what the setup of the golf course, especially after not the redesign, but the refurbish of the course. What did you think of it?
I think the course is good. I think it's a prototypical U.S. Open venue, which there are not that many of anymore, actually, that you can play a U.S. Open at. But I think absolutely Oakmont fits that bill, just like Wingfoot does, just like Shinnecock does, just like Marion does. And I think it's going to be a great test. From what I'm hearing from players that have been there already, they are anticipating a difficult situation for them. They're not familiar with 5-inch type thick rough, which is what they experienced at Memorial last week. They're not used to what are going to be very fast greens, faster than anything they normally see on an annual basis. And the premium on driving the golf ball is going to be such that, you know, we're in an era where you can hit it far and hit it wide and get away with it. That is not going to be the case at Oakmont. And the fact that they've removed the trees, many may not know this, but because they moved the trees to make it not only to get better air in and from an agronomy standpoint, but it really does set up better from when Phones did the design. It was a design without trees. And so you're playing a golf course that was designed back in the 1920s that was without trees. And it's going to be an interesting experience for them, and an experience that they probably don't see very often in their professional careers, to be honest with you.
Alex Maselli joining us. So to that point, do you think it changes up the expectations of favorites coming in? Like, do we see shorter hitters that are straighter hitters? Is this a Fred Funk style golf course, or do you still have to be, you know, a big bomber in order to be able to tackle what Oakmont presents?
Well, I think being a big bomber is an advantage any place you go, because you can always rein it back in if you need to. But being a big bomber and being offline considerably is going to be a problem there. So I think you can get any kind. You can get a Corey Pavin, or you can get a Dustin Johnson type player to win there. I just think that, you know, let's be honest. U.S. Opens out of the four majors are where luck is the most imperative. The more luck you have, the better chance you got. Because, I mean, I'm saying you're not going to hit all 14 fairways every day. You're going to be in the rough. You got to have good lies in the rough when you're in the rough. You got to have good lies in bunkers. There's so many different things that you have to go your way in a U.S. Open. So does that mean that a long guy is going to be able to take advantage of that? Maybe. But, you know, if I hit it 350 yards and I'm in some kind of crummy lie that I actually have to chip out versus the guy who hit it 290 and is in the middle of the fairway, I mean, it's hard to explain how important being 290 and in the fairway is more important than being 350 and in some crummy lie on the right side of the fairway.
So, and along with that, you know, like you said, luck, hitting the ball in the fairway, with these greens being as fast as they are, putters are going to need to be spot on if they want to have a chance. You know, I think of Payne Stewart pitching it out on the 18th hole when he won it at Pinehurst, and then making that 20-footer to win the tournament. My dad, when he won in 1959, I think he had 117 putts total for his U.S. Open victory. So somebody's going to have to be a good putter that week to be able to win the golf tournament.
Yeah, and the thing is, not only a good putter, I think, but a putter that's really successful from 8 to 10 feet.
Yes.
Because you're going to see a lot of 8 to 10 footers for par that you have to convert. And that's how you win. That's how you used to win a U.S. Open, right? I mean, you're talking about your dad. That's how you won a U.S. Open. You make a lot of 8 to 10 footers, you know, because you're not going to always hit the ball perfectly. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're the guy at the end of the day.
Which is interesting, because I don't know that I necessarily would have picked Dustin Johnson if those were the criteria. Johnny Miller certainly wasn't known for his putting. So that's kind of an interesting. Hey, speaking of Johnny, we dug up an interview from several years ago we did with Johnny, and he said that 63, he never had he only had one downhill putt all 18 holes. He kept the ball below the hole. You and I, we all went out and played. I don't even know how that's possible. How do you even get it below the hole?
Well, let's remember too, and this is not a slight against Johnny, but you know, they had a lot of rain. It was a much softer golf course, so I think that's how he probably was able to keep the ball below the hole in those situations. But when you talk about the Dustin Johnson part of the equation, Dustin Johnson hit the ball off the tee magnificently. You know, with that cut that he had, and he was always in the fairway. So maybe he's not a great putter, but it's almost like, you know, Jack at Memorial last week talked about the fact, you know, being a guy that, you know, is fairways and greens, and then you could be a guy that maybe likes Jordan Spieth, who wasn't necessarily a fairways and greens guy, but it was a great putter from distances when he got on the greens. Dustin Johnson is a good fairway and greens guy. Scotty Scheffler is a good fairway and greens guy. They may not be great putters, but they're going to give themselves, you know, enough chances because they're so good that they don't have to be great putters.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, you brought up Scotty Scheffler. We're talking with Alex Maselli, looking forward to next week's U.S. Open. You brought up Scheffler. Boy, he's getting a lot of accolades right now, and rightly so. He's just doing things. I thought he won the PGA probably with his B game, a little Tiger-like in that respect. He seems to be pretty much clicking on all cylinders. And the stats when he gets up there near the lead going into the final round are Tiger-like, let's be honest. I mean, he's a great front runner. He just seems... And he seems unfazed by all of it. That's maybe one of the most spectacular parts of his game is that it just doesn't faze him. It's just work for him. It's what he does, and he does it really, really well. What's your thoughts on Scheffler, and is he your favorite coming in next week?
Well, he's clearly one of the favorites. I think you're right. The weird thing about Scottie Scheffler is the fact that he'd be so unfazed. You know, you wouldn't have expected that when you saw him early in his career. I mean, I can remember when he was at U.S. Open qualifiers, for goodness sakes. I mean, it wasn't like it just happened overnight. But he is unfazed, and it's like not only unfazed on the golf course, but he's unfazed off the golf course. And when you talk to him, he's like just a normal everyday person. And he's not, he doesn't see this as like a be all and end all that golf is so important. You know, he's more of a guy that likes to just kind of enjoy life. And maybe that's the reason why he's having this kind of success, because he's not letting any of this stuff get to his head. And I don't see that changing. I don't see, like, all of a sudden one day Scottie Scheffler is going to be somebody else. Mm. I think Scottie Scheffler pretty much knows who he is, and that's never going to change. And, you know, the one thing is that we talked today about how good he is, in, you know, from tee to green, and I'm assuming that's going to stay that way. But, I mean, he's got faults in the zone. I mean, his footwork is horrible. You wouldn't teach the footwork he has to a guy coming up and playing, trying to play golf. But it works for him. One day it's not going to work for him. But right now it does work for him, and right now he is one of the favorites going in.
Yeah, and he's the one that, you know, speaking of putting, we talked about that. He's the one that's really worked on his putting, got a new putting coach and all that kind of thing, and went to the mallet putter, all those things to help him be even better.
Yeah, I mean, look, every guy wants to be better. They all want to get better. But the way they try to get better is the difference. So you take, I'll take Scottie Scheffler. Like you just said, he worked with a putting coach. It seemed to have worked. That's fine. He doesn't feel like he needs to be doing something other than that. I look at somebody like Luke Donald, who felt like he needed to catch, go after and chase distance, even though he had been the world number one, and it killed his game. I mean, he was a great short game guy, a great putter, and then he went ahead and tried to chase distance, and it's killed his game. So, you know, it's how you go about doing it. I mean, Nick Faldo changed his game. Tiger Woods changed his game. They need to find ways to change his game. Other people have tried to change their game, and you've never heard from them again.
It's a really good point. Alex yep. Maselli joining us here on Real Golf Radio. I got to ask you about Rory. Coming off the Masters, Rory was, I mean, he was untouchable. This guy had achieved some immortality. He had accomplished something that, and he took every fan, media member, other player, caddy, everybody seemed to have taken this ride with Rory. And there was this strange personal investment around Rory's win. Everywhere I went for the next month, even still, people talk about what was it like to be there with Rory, you know, Rory, and how they just really lived on the edge with him throughout that final round. Felt like that was going to be what propelled him maybe to the next chapter in his career. And it almost feels like since what happened at the PGA when he stonewalled the media, apparently it was upset about the leakage about the driver failing and all that kind of stuff. And then it just, the golf hasn't really been that good, which is a little surprise. Are you surprised at the way things have transpired for Rory since Augusta? And what do you expect coming in next week for him?
Yes. Absolutely surprised. I think I bought into drank the same Kool-Aid you were drinking in regards to Rory's future after what happened at Augusta. And that was, a lot of it was because you listened to him and it was pretty clear that a huge weight has been lifted off his shoulders. But now, not only is that weight back, but I mean, it seems like it might have doubled in size, because he is all over the place. I mean, when somebody talks about having won numerous times at a venue, and the venue's the same venue that you'd won at before, and you're just coming off winning a major championship, you think you're going to roll into that venue, and per se, meaning Quail Hollow and the PGA Championship, as a guy that's just going to light the place up, and you're going to win another major. I mean, not only did he not win another major, he wasn't even in the hunt. He was not even sniffing distance. And it's like, really? How is that even possible? And then you add in the things that you said about the fact that he basically dissed the media for 4 days. And then in Canada, he talks about how the fact that he basically blames the leak on the media. And that's why he didn't talk to the media, because they leaked it. We don't leak anything. We just report. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if the guy needs he needs some help somewhere other than his swing, because what he's talking about and what he's saying seems so contrary to the Rory McIlroy that we were talking to at Augusta National just 2 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money, and you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
So having talked about Rory and Scotty, real quick, in about the last 2 minutes that we have for you, throw out some other names that you think would be possible contenders this coming week.
Bryson, for sure, no question. I think if you look at Bryson's game, and I know he's been there already, and he likes the golf course. I think it fits his game perfectly. I think he's going to be one of the guys you look at. I like Russell Henley, to be honest with you. He's a good golf striker, decent putter, so I like his game. Keegan Bradley last week at Memorial played pretty well, and I think his game is starting to come into form. So he's another guy I would take a look at. And then on the European side, you can't look at Rory, I don't think, but I think you can look at some of the other guys. You know, Shane Lowry, he's a cold, hot and cold guy, and he was playing pretty well at Memorial, played pretty well at the PGA Championship. So maybe he shows up this week and plays four rounds because he seems to have a problem playing four rounds. But those are the guys that I take a look at. I'm not going to discount any short hitter because I think it's possible. It's just a little harder for them to go ahead and deal with a golf course like this. But it isn't extremely long. It's not like it's 7,700 yards. So I think a shorter hitter has a chance, but everything has to go right. No matter who it is, everything pretty much has to go right, and you have to have that luck on your shoulder.
Hey, why don't we meet somewhere where it's cozy and calm and a nice soft chair and have a little lemonade while these guys go out and beat themselves up on that golf course next week. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'll be doing that. I'm not sure how good the media center will be, but I promise you I'll be drinking something while watching this, yes.
Alex, it's great to have you on the show. It's great to visit with you. Really, really fun time playing golf with you as well. By the way, Alex was the smart one. We're at 14. He sees the clubhouse. He goes, guys, I'm out. And we didn't hit our tee shots before the thunderstorms rolled in and soaked us for about three holes. And we all just said, yeah, apparently Alex is the smart one of the bunch. So, good call on that one, bud.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much for that compliment.
Well, Todd, we'll see you next week.
All right, take care.
All right, there you go. Alex Maselli joining us here on Real Golf Radio. Can't wait. U.S. Open is going to be tough and one to watch. Stay tuned. The back nine, hour number two is next.